In the nation's capital, this is DC Public Safety. I'm your host, Leonard Sipes. Today, we are here to talk about the Violence Reduction Program here at the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. CSOSA is a federally funded parole and probation agency with responsibility for parole and probation issues in the great city of Washington, D.C. To talk to us about this program, we have three extraordinarily interesting people. We have Zoe, and that's not her real name. She is an individual under supervision of Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency to talk about her participation in the Violence Reduction Program. We have Tanisha Clardy, and she is a community supervision officer, and we have Michelle Hare-Diggs. She is a treatment specialist, and to Zoe, and to Tanisha, and to Michelle, welcome to DC Public Safety.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to start off with you, Michelle, and you're going to explain what the Violence Reduction Program is all about.
The Violence Reduction Program was put into place by CSOSA to successfully help the offenders on probation to successfully complete parole or probation.
Mm-hmm.
There's three phases to the group. Phase one kind of gets everybody comfortable with being in a group, comfortable with the group process. So we do a lot of, I guess I would say, icebreaker exercises mm-hmm. and just treatment readiness exercises.
Mm-hmm.
That runs 3 weeks, and they come twice a week. For 3 weeks. And then we move on to phase two, which is the meat of the program.
Mm-hmm.
And we do a whole slew of, we learn a whole slew of activities. And it's not just violence. Most of the techniques can be used in everyday life, communication styles, different communication styles, relaxation techniques. So everything that we do in a group can also, it just doesn't relate to just violence.
Mm-hmm.
And that phase runs 12 weeks, and they come twice a week. And then we move on to phase three, which is the purpose of phase three is to help. We want the offenders to, in turn, want to be able to help someone else
mm-hmm.
to successfully complete parole and probation. So we integrate them into community activities. And that phase runs 6 weeks, and they come once a week.
So in essence, what we're doing is helping people. It's a theory in criminology called cognitive behavioral therapy, where it's sort of thinking through life's event differently than what they've done in the past. And I would imagine that's sort of what we're talking about now, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So it is how to stay away from situations of violence, potential situations for violence, how to extract yourself, how to deal with all of that in such a way not to land you back in the criminal justice system.
Exactly. And in situations where you can't do that, how to make a better choice. What would be a better choice?
A better choice.
Yes.
Okay. We were talking beforehand. My wife constantly tells me about better choices. I get angry at my daughters, and she'll tell me to go cool off. I mean, this is sort of a lifelong learning situation for a lot of us, correct?
Right. So it's just situations where we try to, if you're in a situation where you can't just walk out, what would be the better thing to do? How to take a time out in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the techniques sound corny, but they really work.
Okay.
Things that you would never think of. How to count to 10. And we hear it, but do we really do it? How to shout loudly, stop it to yourself, so you're able to not give yourself that continuous negative self-talk.
And Tanisha, we're going to go to you for the next question. I mean, you work with these women, the women offenders, on a regular basis. Do you deal just with the women or with the men or both?
I deal with both.
With the both. Do you have any preferences over which group or women easier to deal with than men? Or do they? Or are they bringing their own unique issues?
All of them bring their unique characteristics to
okay.
the program.
Because the average person is going
women, to... They have different issues, totally different issues that come from... As far as growing up and being a female.
Okay.
You have molestation, you have rape, you have substance abuse, and you just have emotional, physical abuse. So those are different issues that women more deal with than men.
And that's pretty much clarified by the criminological literature, by all the studies, basically, talking about the fact that women offenders, women caught up in the criminal justice system, have much higher rates of substance abuse than men, have higher rates of mental health issues, and the rate of prior sexual abuse is astounding. It is one of the highest correlates or the things that are connected to crime. It's astounding as to how many women caught up in the criminal justice system come from that sort of a history. So in the women offenders that I've talked to in the past, they've had a lot of explosive anger. going on with them and throughout their lives. And a lot of it's self-destructive, which I would imagine a lot of the emotional issues and substance abuse issues come from that history.
True. It's all about their defense mechanisms. It seems that women internalize more. So when it gets to the point where you can't take it anymore, it's easier to just lash out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's probably easier for them to just, you know, commit an act of violence when they feel as though they have to defend themselves, they have to protect themselves, because here you are, you're coming up against me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I've just, you know, just noticed with all my women offenders.
Either one of you can answer this question. Now, we're talking about basically a four-month program where we take individuals with a history of violence and we sort of restructure who they are and what they are in terms of their day-to-day ability to cope with the stresses of life, correct?
Right.
Right.
But I think the group, because it is 4 months long, it gives you time to really think about behaviors and how it may have impacted your decisions in the past. So mm-hmm. that's the real purpose of the group. We want you to see how your past behaviors are now, how have they impacted your decisions, and for whatever reason have put you on parole or probation, and how can you rethink those past behaviors and how can we use them differently in
right.
the future to help us make better decisions.
Right. We don't want the person engaging in additional acts of violence, so this protects the public. We don't want the person engaging in additional acts of violence because it protects the taxpayer, because the person theoretically does better. And the research indicates that individuals do better with these programs, cognitive behavioral therapy programs or violence reduction programs. So this is a win-win situation for everybody. What we're doing is helping people understand that the stuff that they've done in the past, they cannot continue to do in the future, correct?
Right.
Right.
And in turn, we also, not just for themselves, but because some, like with the women offenders, some of them are mothers or sisters. The skills that you learn, even again, they sound corny, but as you're at home, I'm sure they joke about it later on, like, we did this skill. But if you really practice it, and this is something that you try to practice with your siblings at home or your children or your significant other, it's not something that they themselves are just learning. They're also teaching others.
And that's important. I mean, what you teach individuals, they teach their sons, they teach their daughters, they teach their peers. A lot of people who have been caught up in the criminal justice system who are now doing well, people sort of wonder, well, why are you doing so well? And one of the reasons why they're doing so well is they have learned a new way of thinking about who they are in their lives. Most people don't want to return to the criminal justice system. I get the sense that a lot of people who are caught up in the criminal justice system don't quite understand how they got there to begin with. All they were doing were hanging out with friends, drinking a beer, doing whatever, and somebody said the wrong thing and they lashed out. It's not like they sat down and said, gee, I want to assault somebody violently with a beer bottle tonight. Stuff happens. Stuff happens quickly. It happens rapidly. And sometimes you're not even quite sure why you did what you did, correct?
Very true. Very true. But I guess that's the benefit of the program, because instead of just reacting the way you normally would act, you sit back and you think about, okay, what is my next move?
Right.
Like, you have to make a choice, and hopefully the choice is a positive one.
All right. Now we're going to go over to Zoe. Zoe is what we said before the program, was the truly authentic person sitting in this room. The rest of us are paid by the federal government mm-hmm. to do what we do on a day-to-day basis. Zoe, you're here because I'm quite sure you volunteered to be on the radio show and just absolutely adored the idea of sharing your feelings with the public.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The public
cool.
needs to be informed.
Cool. Why does the public need to be informed?
Well, because everyone that commits a crime or commits act of violence isn't a bad person. It's just the way you have to rethink the way that you're going about things. Think about how you're going to approach this situation and think about who you're in the situation with. You can't react the same to everyone. So that's what I take most out of the group, that even though we're not talking about something that directly applies to me, I can take the message out of that and apply it to my life, and it's helpful.
Well, what we've said before throughout the entire program is the sense that too many people are being caught up in too many acts of violence. They need what we call in the field cognitive behavioral therapy. What the other person, the average person listening to this program, would be a come to you know what meeting, or come to reality meeting, or whatever. You know, I mean, our parents read us the Riot Act in the past. We got punished. We were instructed by uncles, aunts, others, people in the community. community that what we were doing was inappropriate. We had no business doing it. Are we suggesting that people didn't grow up with those guidelines?
Well, some people didn't. Everyone didn't have that uncle or aunt or cousins or family members around to give that positive reinforcement. Or even still, just the things that you were doing wrong, no one told you they were wrong. No one really reprimanded you for it. So that catches up with you in the end. And pretty much here, we're just reversing kind of the bad learned behavior.
Well, there are two questions. Is it too easy to get involved in acts of violence?
Yeah.
And you know, again, most of the people that I've talked to have been caught up in the criminal justice system, didn't say, you know, I set out that evening to beat my brother over the head with a beer bottle because he insulted my wife. I mean, that's not how it went down.
No, it went down in the flash of an eye. Before you knew it, someone was hemmed up because of whatever internal anger that I had. This is my personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so before I knew it, I was already at a 9, and then just that one little small incident just took me to 27 somewhere, mm-hmm. and I ended up in the system.
It was an explosion.
It was an explosion.
Okay, so you've been through the criminal justice system, and you have been through the violence reduction program.
Yeah,
and
I'm currently in the program.
And you're currently in the program, and what does that mean to you now?
Well, for one, when we first started the program, I was kind of sketchy about, you know, I just really didn't understand why I was in the group. But now I look forward to coming to the group. These mm-hmm. are just people, these are my friends now, actually. And we talk about different experiences that we have throughout the week. And it's helpful. It's really helpful. Whether I'm actually joking around or we come in there and we play around. But at the end of the day, all right, we actually got something out of this. And it's valuable to put forth in your everyday life.
That's amazing to me because that is something the average person doesn't hear. The average person listening to this program is saying, wait a minute, people who are violent belong in prison. They don't understand that the overwhelming majority of people caught up in the correctional system or in the street. They're
yeah.
under parole and probation supervision. Parole meaning they've come out of the prison system. Probation means the judge decided to sentence them to a period of community supervision and not necessarily prison. But prison's always hanging over their heads. So the overwhelming majority of people caught up in acts of violence aren't in prison. They're in the community.
Yeah, your next-door neighbor.
Their next-door neighbor, the person you interact with at the gas station, mm-hmm. the person who serves you at your local restaurant, the person who hands you your dry cleaning. You know, it's one out of every 45 people in the community are under active community supervision. Now, most criminologists have said, well, if it's one out of every 45 under active current community supervision with correctional systems, it's at minimum one out of every 20. So you're encountering people every day by the scores who are either once caught up in the criminal justice system or currently caught up in the criminal justice system. So these programs, this particular program, what does it mean to you and what does it mean to public safety?
Well, as far as public safety and the program really just has people to it. I don't really.
It's a hard question
yeah,
to answer. I'm sorry.
Question.
It is a ridiculously hard question to answer. But I mean, the bottom line is that if more people were involved in programs like this, would there be less violence?
Yes, it definitely would be less violence.
Okay, and why is that?
Because it changes your way of thinking about it. Changes
okay.
your way of thinking about the situations that you're in. And things that may seem like a threat to take you from 10 to 27, they don't bother you as much anymore.
That's I also cool. think the peer interaction that they're getting from the group, the peer feedback that
yeah.
they're getting, things that they there's situations where we'll come up, somebody in the group will come up with a scenario that may have happened over the weekend where they didn't think that there was any other way to handle it. And the peer interaction or peer feedback that they're getting inside the group, like, oh, okay, maybe you could have tried this, you could have tried that, and then it seems more realistic. Like, okay, maybe I could have done that, where some people, sometimes you think the only thing I could have done was hit this person or lashed out or cussed the person out or however you may have acted before. The interaction that the peers give, the interaction in the group from the peers is just, it's amazing. The feedback, well, next time maybe you could try this, walk out, come back in, things that you would never think that you yourself could do. you know, they test themselves, and I really like that.
We're halfway through the program, and I'm going to reintroduce everybody here at the microphones today. Zoe, not her real name, but an individual kind enough to participate. She is currently in the Violence Reduction Program here at the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. Community Supervision Officer Tanisha Clardy, and what most people around the country call parole and probation agents, we call Community Supervision Officer, and a treatment specialist, Michelle Hare Diggs. All three are before our microphones talking about the Violence Reduction Program here at the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. Now, ladies, I'm going to go back to my experience when I ran groups in the Maryland prison system. And one of the things that I discovered is that how folks react in a treatment setting and how they act in the community can be two different things.
Well, I think what makes this group unique, because I'm a treatment specialist and I'm not a CSO, they kind of see it as separate. So I think the group tends to be a lot more real. It's not as, I think, what most people would consider as fake. And Zoe, you could correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I agree with you. I like the, at first I wasn't sure about it, but I like the fact that it's the time period, the length of it. Because if we were meeting once a week for a month, I wouldn't know these people and I wouldn't tell them anything. It wouldn't be a conversation. It'll just be Miss Hay Diggs talking to us. She'd just be talking at us pretty much.
A lot of people
interacting.
A lot of people go through these programs because they're stuck with going through these programs. How authentic is this? Any one of you can answer. How real is this? How deeply do we get into the lives of the individuals, and is there real change? That's what the public wants to know.
Well, it is a real change because, one, you don't have to be there. You can just be at home, and next thing you know, you'll get someone knocking at your door, taking you back to jail. You don't have to be there, but you come, and then you choose to participate. Mm-hmm. So you can come and not say anything, and you can come and share your experiences. So just by that and just us learning to trust each other, we can talk about these things and throw ideas off the wall and give each other constructive criticism or just say pretty much whatever we're thinking without it becoming an issue. So the fact that we have that freedom, that ability to just let it all hang out and put it out there, we get a lot of things accomplished. We talk about a lot of different issues and we hear each other out. We're more receptive to our peers because they're not someone talking down at us. They're someone that's going through the same thing I am.
How scary of a place is that? I've talked to a lot of people who have been through drug treatment, describing it as one of the scariest events of their lives because they had to confront all the garbage that has gone on in their lives that caused them to be caught up in the criminal justice system. Sometimes treatment is not pretty. Sometimes it's dragging a person through everything that happened beforehand and coming to an understanding that it doesn't matter what happened to you beforehand, what happens is now and how to control yourself now.
It definitely gets ugly at times where, you know, the group forces an individual to look at their own behaviors and stop putting the blame on everybody else, from the PO to their mother to it's really difficult to look at your own behavior sometimes. So it gets ugly when the group forces that person to address and take some ownership in their behaviors.
When I did group, it was like going to Mars in many instances because, you went to a different planet. You got involved in an extraordinarily intensive examination of people's lives. In my life, the lives of the participants in the program, it was scary at times. Not because of what they said, not because of threats or anything along those lines, but you dig deep into the individual's life, and suddenly they are dealing with issues of their past for the first time. They've never really dealt with them before. Am I right or wrong?
You're definitely right, because I've definitely seen a change in, especially the females, who weren't very interested in being in the program at all. Like for Zoe, she's definitely came a long way. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to do the program. She didn't understand why she had to do the program. She understood her charge, but to her, I'm not an angry person. I'm not a violent person. The situation happened. It is what it is. I just want to do this and get on with my life. Mm-hmm. But she comes to group. She actively participates. She's very open. She accepts responsibility for her actions, and I've just definitely seen a positive change in her.
And I think that's the most meaningful part of all of this. When you go through interacting with a whole bunch of people, and they come to understand what's happened to them in the past, and they come to understand that they can control it. There are a lot of people caught up in the criminal justice system who have been, I don't know, I mean, ships on the ocean without sails. I mean, the wind's just pushing them all over the place. And suddenly they learn how to put up sails and move in the direction that they want to move in. Boy, that's a great analogy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just thought of it. No, I mean, and there are people listening to this who are going, you know, Mr. Sipes, you're so full of hooey. Don't you understand that they're just jiving you, that they're just doing what they have to do to get through the program? And
well, it'll show when you show back up and you're locked up. It'll show whether you got something out of the program or not. And it's all about what you put into it. You can't expect to, okay, well, my life has changed, when you don't even talk in group. You don't even participate. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And they'll see you again. So if you're trying to put your best foot forward, just go ahead and actively participate, pay attention, try to get something out of it, and you won't, hopefully you won't have to be in the system again.
My guess is that an awful lot of people involved in the criminal justice system could use this type of group, who could use this kind of program, that this kind of program would be valuable to them. It's just not people who are ostensibly quote-unquote violent offenders. There's a lot of people with nonviolent charges who have a history of violence. And we can judge that through our own instruments. We pretty much come to a pretty good understanding here at Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency through our instruments as to who that person really is, correct?
Correct. I think anyone can benefit from the program. You could probably benefit from the program yourself, because it's all about conflict resolution, different communication styles, and coping skills. Mm-hmm. Because it's nothing but a table that separates me from Zoe.
Mm-hmm.
I could have been in that same restaurant and someone pushed me and I turned around and slapped them, and here I am. I'm on supervision.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened.
Yeah. No, well, but that could happen to any of us. But
it's
but
all about how you react and the choice that you make.
And according to the research, most individuals who are caught up in the criminal justice system at the time of the arrest were under the influence of something, and most were young. So if you have a younger individual full of pee and vinegar who doesn't feel that good about themselves, who...
Oh, pee and vinegar, wait.
as Tanisha tries to recover from that statement. And no. I mean, this is the reality of what we're dealing with, is it not? I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. I mean, it's they're young, they're very emotional, they're caught up in the moment. Somebody has insulted them, or there's a perceived insult, may be real, may not be real, and that person just explodes. And that person, you don't have to be young?
No, they don't have to be young. I mean, we don't have many old people in our group, but there's a few.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And they get just as much out of the group as I would.
Cool.
Or as the next person.
Okay.
So you don't have to be young. You don't have to be a male or female to get caught up in the moment, and next thing you know.
But you do have to be willing to understand how you became involved in the criminal justice system, how you came to be arrested that evening. And that arrest is oftentimes just the tip of an iceberg. I mean, people caught up in the criminal justice system, they're here for a burglary, but, you know, they've been down the road before. They've been involved in the criminal justice system. We just don't know about it. Most crimes aren't reported. Most reported crimes do not end up in arrest. I'm talking about national statistics. And most reported, even when they're prosecuted, most felonies in this country don't get prison time. So, I mean, you know, to be involved in the criminal justice system, you really had to do something, or you did a series of things before they send you to prison. So, I mean, the point is that people are actively engaged in lots of different things that could get them involved with our agency or put them behind prison bars. I mean, it's just not one instance in many cases. In many cases, there's a history of violence, there's a history of crime, there's a history of acting out.
Right. That's the group also focuses on trying to get the individuals to understand what they did and how it has led, again,
taking ownership
to their behaviors. Because a lot of things are learned behaviors and they don't see anything wrong with it. So we have to really focus on what you did and how it's affected your life.
And it's not just, I guess the point that I'm trying to make, Zoe, is that it's, in many cases, it's not just one altercation. We're talking about a history of inappropriate behaviors.
So we try to focus on learned behaviors and unlearning behaviors, and it can be done.
That's the interesting thing where the audience does need to hear that. I mean, you can be 27 years old, according to Zoe, you can be 47 years old, and you can have this whole life of not making the best of decisions, and you can come out of these sort of encounters making much better decisions. It does work, is the question. The average person listening to this program is saying, ladies, does it work?
It does. I mean, it's hard for an individual, if you're 47, 27, whatever, if you've been reacting the same way your whole life to whatever situation, if you're used to lashing out, hauling off, hitting somebody, smacking somebody, spitting, whatever, and then you're in a group with other people who have the same issues, some of the same similar incidents have happened, and you can hear how somebody else is able to react to a situation. It makes you think at some point, oh, okay, maybe I can try that. You might not want to try it the first time, maybe not even the second time, but the third time, you're like, okay, I can try that. And then if it works, it works. If not, we use so many different skills. You can try a different one, a different type of coping skill. So,
like retreating.
Right. Or counting to 10, removing yourself. Some people feel like, I'm never going to walk out. I would never do this. And you just try something different. So every skill doesn't work for everybody. But we think in errors. You think about, what have I been doing all these years? I'm sorry.
That's right.
What have I been doing all these years? And you have to think, how has it gotten me to this place? And I think that's the biggest thing that we learn in group, because so many, we do the same things over and over and over again. And if it doesn't work, what can we do differently?
I talked to a guy who went through this program who was telling me about being involved in a confrontation on the street. And for the first time in his life, he retreated. He removed himself from that situation. It was a tool that he learned in group, and he was able to use that tool and extract himself. And he simply said, my going back to prison is not worth an altercation with this idiot.
Yeah.
And that was a huge revelation for this individual. It prevented a violent crime from going down. It prevented him from being further caught up in the criminal justice system. It saved the taxpayer, you know, tens of thousands of incarcerated dollars. That was effective. I mean, just simply saying to him, to himself, I'm going to extract myself from this situation. I'm getting out. I'm not going back to prison.
And I guess another thing, when you have that peer interaction in the group, the peers tell you it's okay to walk away. It's not such a bad thing. Whereas before, you might have said, I'm not walking away. You're not. If this is a way of living, you're not used to walking away. You're used to handling things in a violent manner or in a physical manner. And you're hearing everyone say, it's okay to walk away. You keep telling yourself that. And if my freedom is on the line, sometimes you need that constant interaction from your peers telling you what's the better thing to do in this situation.
We just have a couple minutes left, ladies. I mean, to me, this has been an extraordinary half hour. To me, it really has been. The two of you who are paid to be doing this, and Zoe, who got sucked into it. But, I mean, the explanation, the explanation is, I think, powerful, that people can change through the right kind of programs, and if we had more of these programs, more people could change. I mean, is that overly simplistic? If you had programs in place for more people, we could have a greater impact on public safety.
Yeah, sure.
Definitely. This is something that could be put into the community. It doesn't have to be called violent reduction program. It can just be at a community center, just have people come in from the community, sit down, just learn these different skills. Like, be the bigger person. You don't always have to, of course, defend yourself, but you don't have to do anything drastic to where you're going to actually hurt the other person.
Mm-hmm.
But just turn away, walk away. I have something to live for. I have a life. I love my freedom. So, okay, I'm going to let you get away with this one, and I'm going to just keep moving because I don't want to go to my PO and be like, yeah, I got arrested.
Right. I'm going to let you get away with this one because you're of no consequence to me.
Correct.
I'm of consequence to me, and I'm going to protect my kids. I'm going to protect myself, and I'm going to protect my family by getting out of it because,
it's
my man, you're nothing to me.
I have way too much to live for.
So he's not getting away. His opponent's not getting away with anything. He's getting away with a much better life.
Right.
And that's the whole idea behind this program, right?
Right.
Yes.
All right. Any final words before we close?
Well.
Okay, so you got the final word. What is it? Is it meaningful?
Well, the program is meaningful. I do appreciate now, I can say this now, once again, I do appreciate being chosen to be a part of it, just so I can see, okay, this behavior is not right. Something has to change. And now that I have some of the tools in place and some of the methods in place, I'm able to do that and not just take it to the extreme every single time.
Well, for me, it's been a wonderful half hour, ladies. I've really enjoyed this, and I think it's been very meaningful, and I think a lot of people in the public are going to learn from it. Our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, Zoe, who is not a real name, but she's a person under supervision with our agency, the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency, in the Violence Reduction Program. We have Community Supervision Officer Tanisha Clardy, and we have Treatment Specialist Michelle Harris Diggs. Ladies, again, thank you for being on the program today. Ladies and gentlemen, this is DC Public Safety radio programs from the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. Please have yourself a very, very pleasant day.